Whole Gatehouse Party, starring Joe Cook, featuring Donald Novitz, Francis Langford, and Don Voorhees. This is National Pharmacy Week, the one week in the year set aside to pay tribute to the faithful men and women in the drugstores of the nation who stand ready day or night to lend their aid in protecting our health and our lives. So tonight, Colgate dedicates this house party to the druggists of America.
Just a wild rose, not a prim and wild rose. Tame her if you can. She's a rose to suit any man. Strong passion flower, this is her hour. Who gets her, no one knows. She's such a wild, wild rose.
Thank you very kindly.
Say, Joe, what's happened to you? You're getting fat.
Well, that's because I'm in training for the football season, Don.
What?
Did I ever tell you how I started playing football?
No, you didn't, Joe. And please keep up the good work.
You're always begging me for a story, aren't you, Don? Well, I used to play a half note on a football team, but today I played my first game at quarter note.
You mean quarterback?
No, I mean what I said. We play football with music now, and we changed all the positions.
Uh-huh.
Half note, quarter note, full note, and left sharp and right flat.
Wow.
I play right flat because that's the way they always leave me.
Who are you playing for, Joe?
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Are you talking about baseball?
Baseball? Say, I played baseball for the New York Giants better than Bobby Jones.
Ah, Bobby Jones isn't a baseball player, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Neither are the New York Giants.
Oh, well, there's something for that.
Okay. Of course they are. I only said that in fun, you see.
But you're not with any regular college team, Joe.
Certainly I am, but I can't remember which. I mentioned a few colleges, Don.
Well, Notre Dame?
No, I tried out for Notre Dame, but I was too rough for them.
Could it be Cornell?
It could be, but they passed up their chance.
How about Dartmouth?
Is Dartmouth a tall college with a long neck and a black mustache?
No, it's a short college with red hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, that's right. Then it must be the Army team I'm with. In fact, I'm sure it's the Army because I always eat with a mule. We beat the Navy yesterday.
Ah, the Army hasn't played the Navy yet, Joe.
Uh-huh, so that Navy goat's been talking again, huh? Well, we played somebody. Why, I remember in the last quarter, we were trailing by 1 point. The score was 324 to 323. I untied myself from the bench.
Were you tied to the bench, Joe?
Certainly, the coach didn't want me to fall off the bench in a big game like that.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, I picked up the coach and ran down the field 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 40 yards, 40 yards.
What's the matter? Why can't you get past the 40-yard line?
I stopped to tie my shoelaces, Don.
Oh. Then what happened?
Well, I picked up the ball and ran to the 300-yard line.
Uh-huh.
With both teams tearing after me on motorcycles and armored cars. Finally, they caught up to me. The opposing team jumped on my right shoulder, my team jumped on my left shoulder, and I carried the whole bunch of them down the rest of the field and just managed to get over the goal line while the crowd went crazy.
Hooray! Hooray!
Did you hear those cheers, Don?
Well, who won the game, Joe?
Who won the game? What game?
The football game.
Oh, I meant to tell you. That's not till next week. You should have been there, Don.
Thank you.
movers
going to sing The Quiet of an Autumn Night.
When summer steals away, memories linger of moonlit skies. Hearts grow sadder when summer dies. We miss our summer love, but while others did love as you, ours was in the quiet of an autumn night. We were beneath a fading moon. Ah, but it brought the same delight here as a while the leaves were tumbling all around, suddenly our two hearts were lost. We planted love in summer, but it blows. Quiet of an autumn.
That was In the Quiet of an Autumn Night, sung nice and loud by Donald Dover.
Pardon me, Joe. Who was that fellow at your house last night?
Oh, you mean little Jimmy Green, the fellow who stuttered and sang all the war songs?
Yeah, that's him.
Well, a funny thing about him. Jimmy was a soldier in the war. Then he was a drug clerk in a store. Jimmy loved to sing, and the song he sang would bring memories of the War of 17. One day, when a customer came in, they say Jimmy stood there with a grin. He struck a chord in G, raised his voice in ecstasy. The startled customer heard Jim begin. A Colgate, a Colgate. That's the dental paste that I adore. And when I stutter, I don't mind it, 'cause I get to show my tattoos more and more.
Mademoiselle from Boise City, Idaho. Mademoiselle was sweet and pretty, hidey-ho. The Mademoiselle was smiling too. All the boys would come running to Boise City, Idaho. You, Colgate, Colgate.
That's the dental cream that you can buy. It makes the teeth shine brighter and brighter. I can absolutely guarantee without a shadow of a doubt that it's the toothpaste you should buy.
Well, I don't wonder, ladies and gentlemen, with all the competitive claims about different toothpastes and what they will offer for your teeth and your gums, that you might be confused about the kind of toothpaste you buy. But there's no reason to be confused if you have your mind clear about one thing. Do you want your teeth and gums cured, or do you want your teeth cleaned? If it's the first, ladies and gentlemen, frankly, Colgate advises you to see your dentist, because no toothpaste can cure any disease condition of the mouth or gums. It can only clean your teeth. And if that's what you want, then we earnestly recommend Colgate Dental Cream. Because every ingredient has been put there with one purpose in mind, to clean teeth. And Colgate will give you the better results than any other toothpaste, because it has a unique double action. It cleans and polishes your teeth at the same time. removing every last trace of food, drink, and tobacco stains from your teeth, leaving them clean and beautiful. Colgate is the most economical of all beauty aids. Only 20 cents for the large size tube, or 35 cents for the giant size, which holds more than twice as much. If you'd rather use powder, Colgate Dental Powder gives you the same effective double action and sells at the same low price.
Not that you don't sound pretty good when you eat.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Say, speaking of food, you must have done plenty of dieting to play on that football team.
Oh, I should say I did, Don. I put on so much weight training for football that I had to open a restaurant so I could get thin again.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you see, being a restaurant owner, I couldn't eat in my own restaurant. That's unheard of.
Oh.
And I didn't make money enough to eat anywhere else. Why, one day, my head waiter, Silbert, came to me and said,
Mr. Cook.
Yes, Silbert?
I've decided to become a piccolo player.
A piccolo player?
I can't live on what you pay me because you don't pay me anything.
I know it, Silbert. Times are so hard, I'm studying the piccolo myself.
Oh, look, Mr. Cook. The strangest thing has happened.
What?
I think a customer is coming in.
No. Why, sure enough. Well, I'll go over and talk to her. She's probably made a mistake and thinks this is a garage.
Young man?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get a good mystery story.
This isn't a library, ma'am. As soon as I sweep away the cobwebs, you'll see it's a restaurant.
Fancy that. And you serve crabs?
Yes, ma'am. We serve anybody.
Woo! You serve frog's legs?
Oh, frog's legs. I'm sorry you brought that up, ma'am, because it takes me back to the days when one of my boyhood chums was a frog named Clarence.
Oh.
The first time Clarence saw me, he just croaked and jumped back into the lake. Later, he told me I'd been wearing a red tie, and red ties upset him very much. You see, he was a bullfrog. In fact, he was so upset, he decided to leave town and get a job as a train announcer. You know, boom, boom, train, leaving on, like that, you see. Well, sir, just as he was about to depart, a man came along and placed pieces of golden brown toast all over the ground. Now, if there was one thing Clarence liked to do, it was to sit down on a good piece of toast. So he sat on especially whole wheat toast. So he sat on his toast, and quicker than you could say frog's legs on toast, they took him away to a restaurant, and that was the end of poor Clarence.
Oh.
Now, you wouldn't have the heart to ask me to serve you frog's legs, would you, lady?
Oh, how touching.
Now, what would you like to have?
Well, how about a nice steak?
Oh, I'd like to give you some steak. But the only steak I have is no peppers, 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 no palomino. And every time I go to cook him, an Irish potato that's very attached to him gets tears in her eyes.
Oh.
Well, maybe I'm just a sentimental boy.
Oh, how sweet. Well, perhaps you could suggest something.
Perhaps some Chinese chop suey?
Oh, heavens, no.
What's the matter?
My dearest friend is a Chinese missionary.
Oh.
I thought of him all the time you were talking about Clarence.
Yes.
Because he...
Yes, what? What?
He always turned out so sweet.
Oh.
I think I'll go home and try.
All right, Thurman. What would you like, sir?
I'd like some roast beef. Don't stand there crying.
Oh.
Roast beef, you hear me? Haven't you ever heard of roast beef?
Shall I tell him, Mr. Cook?
No, Thurman, I'll tell him. Yes, I've heard of roast beef. Sometimes I wish I hadn't. When I was a boy, I used to take singing lessons from a cow named Ethel. And when I made my first appearance in the Metropolitan Opera, she was proud of me. Of course, in those days, they didn't allow cows in the dressing rooms, and poor little Ethel had to sit way up in the gallery. And after the opera, I couldn't find her anywhere. The next day, for the first time in the history of America, they began serving roast beef in restaurants. Now do you understand? If I serve you some roast beef, it might be Ethel.
Yes, it might be Ethel. What?
Why, stranger, what are you crying about?
I'm thinking of my old algebra teacher.
What?
She was a cow named Clarence.
Oh.
She always sat on toes. Until one day some men trapped her, and quicker than you could say, dog's legs on toast.
Yes.
She became a hot roast beef sandwich on toast with a little gravy.
Go home, stranger. Get out of here. You're breaking my heart.
I'm going now, and I'll never eat anything again except crackers and milk.
Oh, don't eat crackers and milk.
Well, why not, Filbert?
One of my oldest sons was a cracker named Oliver.
Oh.
And he lived in a bowl of milk. Well, one day...
Answer that phone, Filbert, will you please?
All right.
Stop your crying now.
Oh. Yes.
Huh?
Yes, I'm a piccolo player.
Ma'am, what's a piccolo
player? Well, Mr. Cook,
yes?
Will you give me a word of recommendation?
Why, of course, Silver. Hello. Certainly, the best piccolo player in America.
Yes.
Played first piccolo with Sousa's band.
That's right.
Yes, sir. All right. Tomorrow at 10:30 sharp. What? $50 a week. Fine.
Gee, that was swell of you, Mr. Cook.
Well, goodbye, Filbert, my friend.
Goodbye, Mr. Cook. Well, where are you going?
A telephone call. I'm going to get my piccolo. I just got a job. Suppose you get into your bathing suit and sing Water Under the Bridge. It reminds me of that other old water song, Oh, What a Pal Was Mary.
Time passes by, motionless as in a dream. Once you and I watched our reflection, smile out of a scene. We kissed and love flowed through my heart like the water under the bridge we part. But the road is pale, the moon turned white, and the water froze beneath the bridge one night. If the old bridge knew just the way and the water that flows deep abreast would melt, and the tide would bring you back to me, and all I would flow as water
Have you ever felt like raising the roof? Well, let's do it. Let's raise the roof of an apartment house and see what's going on in the top floor living room.
Well, sis, are you going to send it back?
Of course not. Why should I?
But then they say you have to send it back.
Children,
my goodness, this sounds like the House of Representatives. What's going on, anyway?
Well, Mother, I was listening to the Colgate program about a month ago, and they said to go out and get a tube of Colgate dental cream.
Well, if you bought everything they told you to buy on the radio, this place would look like the old curiosity shop.
Mother, they said to use Colgate twice a day, brushing your teeth about 2 minutes each time. Then after the tube was empty, if you didn't think your teeth were brighter than any other toothpaste that ever made them, to send the empty tube back to the Colgate Company at Jersey City, New Jersey.
Well, then what?
Well, then Colgate would send you twice what you paid for it. I thought that was a pretty sporting offer, to promise you brighter teeth or promise you double your money back. Oh, yes, and the postage, too.
Certainly, but what's all this leading to?
Well, now look at my teeth. Now, honestly, don't you think they're better looking?
Well, they certainly look brighter than I've ever seen them.
Well, there you are. I took Colgate up on their offer, and I did get brighter teeth. And Smarty here got the offer all mixed up, and he's
Oh, don't pay any attention to him. He takes after his father. And, John, if you want to make yourself a little more useful, run out to the drugstore for another tube of Colgate. I'm going to try it.
And that goes for everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone. Just buy one tube of Colgate dental cream and use it all. Then, if your mirror doesn't convince you that it's made your teeth cleaner and brighter than any other toothpaste you ever used, we'll be glad to give you double your money back. That's our way of proving that Colgate dental cream will live up to every claim we made for it. So start using it tonight or tomorrow. You can't lose.
Well, now, if everybody will just sit down on each other's lap, we'll all have a look at the newspaper. I was all set to tell you which side won the World Series today, but I guess it's going to last all through the winter and into next spring. Detroit lost the sixth game of the series, and Schoolboy Rowe is just another young man who owes his downfall to a pack of cards. If Detroit is to win this series, they'll have to hit all those St. Louis players on the head instead of just Dizzy Dean. Of course, you all know that Dizzy was hit in the head with a baseball. The baseball was ruined. A doctor examined Dizzy, thought he was delirious, and ordered him to the hospital. What I want to know is, how can anybody tell when Dizzy is delirious? If there's anybody crazy in this series, it's the radio fans. They don't know whether it's a baseball game or a bedtime story. It's Ducky Wucky this, and Goosey Goslin that, and Mickey flies out to Chicky, and Frankie drives one through Hanky, and then there's Daffy and Dazzy and the Popsy Wopsy of them all, good old Dizzy. Incidentally, here's an inside tip. The team that wins tomorrow's game has a marvelous chance to win the series. Look at this now. Ex-President Hoover talked on the radio to Admiral Byrd and his men down in Little America. Those fellows down there feel that they have a lot in common with Mr. Hoover. They, too, know what it means to be left out in the cold. Out in Chicago, they've started a school for people who break traffic rules. If you get pinched for violating the rules of traffic, you can be sent to school for 4 nights and compelled to pass a test. Now, that may be a good idea, but I don't think you could ever teach a lady driver to hold out her hand in 4 lessons. Here's a strange one. A factory in North Carolina is making gold out of seawater. Well, there's nothing new about that. Our best bootleggers did it for years, only they didn't call it seawater. In Mexico City, one of the best tricks of the week was performed. A chicken laid 2 eggs at a time and cackled twice as long as when it laid 1 egg. Well, that's all right in Mexico, but if a hen laid twice as many eggs as it ought to in this country, they'd take away its blue eagle. Here's a late flash, and it's the best news in weeks. Donald Norris is going to sing Wonderful One. Make it front page stuff, Don.
My wonderful one, whenever I'm dreaming, love's love light a-gleaming I see. My wonderful one, how my arms ache to hold dear, to cuddle and hold near to me. Just you, only you, in the shadowy twilight, in silvery moonlight, there's none like you. my life I live for you, my wonderful, wonderful one. Calling, calling, dear, loved one, can you hear? Each throbbing part of my faithful heart, come to me, make all my sighs disappear. Sweetheart, you must know that I love you so. Awake or sleeping, my heart's in your keeping and calling to you soft and low. Just you, only you, in the shadowy twilight, in silvery moonlight, there's none like you. I adore you. My life I live for you, my wonderful,
wonderful one. And Donald, you sang it better than you play football. Say, by the way, have you seen any football games lately?
I know, Joe. I stay home and listen to them on the radio.
Well, if that isn't a coincidence, because here I am all ready to give you some instructions on how to listen to football games on the radio.
Yeah?
Now, the first thing you do is tune in on the game you want to hear. Then have your wife cook some hot dogs and rub a little of the mustard on the sleeve of your overcoat. You know, at football games, you always get mustard on the sleeve of your overcoat. Now, don't forget to turn off all the heat in the house and sit around in your bare feet. A football game is no good unless you get your feet cold. Then hire a neighbor to come in every time there is an exciting play and turn off the radio. This gives the same effect as when a touchdown is about to be made in a real game. Everybody stands up in front of you and you can't see anything. And finally, when your favorite team wins, make a bonfire out of the dining room table and get some of your friends to come in and help you tear up the bedstead. Uh-oh, there goes the whistle. The game is over, and it's time to say goodnight.
And thus ends another Colgate House Party. But there'll be another one at the same time next week. Joe Cook will be your host with Donald Novis, Francis Langford, Don Voorhees and his orchestra, and the Colgate Quartet. And in the meantime, remember, your smile is no brighter than your teeth. This is the National Broadcasting Company.